Welcome to the Fantasy Football Today podcast presented by Snickers. Snickers reminds you that you're not you when you're hungry, and Snickers satisfies. Adam Azer and Heath Cummings with Jamie Eisenberg joining us later in progress. Heath, the waiver wire was extremely satisfying last night. How often do we get this many opportunities to add a running back that you can start?
No, and the best part about it is if you're in the semifinals or in one league, 10-team league, I'm in the finals, there's only two or three other people competing with you. So even right. If you miss out on the top guy, you're still going to get somebody good.
Now, I don't know if you were in any fab leagues last night, but definitely a case to be made for keeping your money, having some budget available this late in the season.
Yeah, I guess kind of if somebody else in the league does, but I got good players for $1 and $0, so I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I got Denard Robinson for $4 in our pocket. I had $5 left. I knew I was playing Dave, who has no money left, so I got Denard Robinson for $4. I would have gotten, if I had known I could have gotten him for $1 or $2, I would have done that, but I got him for $4, and I got Bryce Brown for $1, and Dave got Brandon Bolden for $0. I wish I could have blocked him from getting Bolden, but oh well. Anyway, welcome to the show, everybody. Today, I do want to read some emails if we have time for that, but Stephen O is coming in at 10 o'clock. That's about 35 minutes from now. We will preview the Thursday night game, which is a pretty easy one to preview. St. Louis and Tampa Bay. We will get the trustometer out, or the trustometer, and take a look at the most added, most dropped players. But I think we should start with the injuries since a lot has changed since we last spoke.
I figured you wanted to start with the sequels.
No. The sequels are coming up. And honestly, like, you and I have had some battles, some disagreements. I really feel like this is the most lopsided one yet. I just think you're wrong about this. Have you figured out that you're wrong about Terminator 2 yet from all the feedback we've gotten?
Well, the thing that I was supposed to say is that there's 5 sequels that are better.
But you also dissed Terminator 2, and you said you could come up with 10.
Okay, well, I could come up with 10, but there's 5 definitively better.
Definitive.
There 10 might, I will say, it might be in the top 10 sequels of all time.
Yeah, I mean, it's top 10 movie.
I don't believe that movie holds up over time.
Oh, it does. It does. You should check it out.
Unless you believe it does.
No, it does. What was I going to say? I watched the sequel last night that is up there, that competes with Terminator 2, and I'm interested to see if it's on your list, so we'll find out. LeGarrette Blount out for the year with a hip injury. Jacksonville signed Jonas Gray, which is bad news for TJ Yeldon. Seattle released DeJuan Harris, and one of my friends who I was trash talking with in the office down there, Darst, he picked up DeJuan Harris with his number one waiver wire priority, and I got the last laugh on him there. And Jonathan Stewart, uncertain to play, so Fozzie Whitaker, I did add him in a couple of leagues just in case. All right, so with Blount out for the year, with Jonas Gray being signed by the Jaguars, with Seattle releasing DeJuan Harris and Bryce Brown, now, you know, clear path for more carries, who do you think should have been the number one priority revisiting that list?
Well, the difficult part about it is I think Denard Robinson is going to be the best of all the backs this week. But if you're asking me who's going to score the most points the rest of the season, I believe it's Brandon Bolden now that we know LeGarrette Blount's out for the year.
Yeah, I think I kind of feel like one of those three guys, the three most added players, are Denard Robinson, Bryce Brown, and Brandon Bolden. All of them are projected to score a lot of points by Stephen O. We're going to ask him about that. I feel like at least one, and then there's Tim Hightower, by the way, who's fourth. At least one of these four guys, if not more, are going to have, I feel like, a huge game this week. I think there are some big opportunities here.
I thought you were going to say the exact opposite. At least one of these guys is going to bust. You're going to start one of them over someone that you've started most of the year and lose in the playoffs because of it.
That's possible. So who's the most likely to do that? I feel like it might be Bryce Brown.
Without a doubt, it's Bryce Brown. Brown could carry the ball 4 times, fumble it 3 times, and never play in the NFL again.
So I looked at the fumbles of Bryce Brown. It was really all his rookie year. He fumbled like 4 times, and then, if I remember correctly, over 120 carries or something over the last 2 years without a fumble. I'll go ahead and look that one up again. But I don't know. I mean, I just feel like I don't really have a great reason for it. I just feel like he's not that good, and he's shown some talent in the past, but if he were that good, he would have been on a roster. And then Tim Hightower, you know, his yards per carry were terrible last week. We got 28 carries. It's hard to rely on that in a second straight week.
Yeah, I'm not excited about Hightower against the Lions. The Lions had been spectacular against the run over the last month until Todd Gurley ran all over him. And Tim Hightower is not Todd Gurley.
No, he's not. All right, so we'll get into the rankings there. They are the four most added players, and I think there's a case to be made to add all of them, and hopefully you have. The fifth most added player is Tyler Lockett, who we talked about. Jonathan Stewart, as I mentioned, uncertain to play. Peyton Manning is going to practice this week, but Brock Osweiler will start. Greg Olsen is expected to play. Jerry Jones, he said he's not going to bench Dez Bryant this year, Heath. Jerry Jones said he will go balls out with Dez. And it kind of just led to the question, does he know what that means? So, you know.
No comment.
Yeah, and did you ever see him talking about glory? You know,
No.
All right, so I don't even know if I could say this on the podcast, but it was, I don't know how I had never seen it before. It was probably the funniest press conference clip I ever saw. So just Google Jerry Jones glory, and I think it should come up. Now, there's another word to add after glory, but I don't want to say it.
Yeah, I know what word it is.
Have you ever seen that clip?
No, but I mean.
Oh, no, dude, you're in for a treat. It is unbelievable. Andrew Luck likely out this week. Andre Ellington did not practice. They have a Sunday night game at Philadelphia. Some hope that Matt Schaub could start this week, according to ESPN.
Isn't hope the wrong word to be using with Matt Schaub?
Well, what do you consider?
Like, are you really
options?
Hoping that Matt Schaub starts if you're anyone?
Yeah, if you're the Kansas City DSD and you want a touchdown.
They care? I mean, what's the difference between Matt Schaub and Jimmy Clausen at this point?
Yeah, it's probably, Schaub is a better quarterback, but also very turnover prone. Jordan Matthews might be out with a back injury as they face the Cardinals on Sunday night. Are any interest in, you know, Riley Cooper or any other wide receiver?
Not particularly, no. I've got a lot of interest in the Cardinals DST.
Yeah. And San Francisco guard Alex Boone out for the season. Do you expect DeSean Jackson or Tyler Eifert this week?
At this point, I really don't think I do.
Okay. So looking at the most added list, I don't know that there's much to say here. So we talked about those four running backs, Tyler Lockett. Chris Boswell is number six, which is kind of interesting. I thought about adding him in one league. Kickers are very unpredictable, obviously. I just don't know how many points the Steelers score this week. This is one of the most interesting games. Steelers facing the Broncos. What is your general read on that game in terms of offense?
I don't know that the Steelers have a ton of success offensively. The thing I like about it is, I mean, the Steelers, if you're counting them scoring touchdowns, Boswell might not get a lot of points because they go for two too often. But they have gotten stopped in the red zone quite a few times. I think this is a good situation where you've got an elite offense going up against an elite defense. It's very unlikely that the Broncos shut Pittsburgh down completely. It's also unlikely that Pittsburgh just goes up and down the field and scores a bunch of touchdowns. So maybe they get into the red zone a few times, kick a few field goals. I don't dislike the Boswell play.
Oh, Boswell has been five straight games with double-digit fantasy points, and that's with standard scoring where every field goal is 3 points. No reward for long
goals. We know how we can count on that kicker production over the last few
weeks.
Again,
I mean, if you're going to go with a kicker, you want one who's on a high-scoring team, and keep in mind he scored 10 fantasy points at Seattle when they faced a good defense. I think Denver's defense is definitely better than Seattle's. But, you know, this is interesting. I mean, we'll obviously break it down on the starter sit episodes, but how are we going to feel about Ben Roethlisberger? How are we going to feel about Martavis Bryant?
My general feeling about kickers is if I have one that's done a pretty decent job for me, I'm not going to drop him in the playoffs to pick up one that I am speculating might be better that week.
Well, how about this? Would you consider benching D'Angelo Williams for any of those four waiver wire running backs?
I could see, the tough thing is, like, I didn't think D'Angelo Williams was going to be a good play last week, and I still don't believe he would have been if Andy Dalton had stayed healthy.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the Broncos defense is much better than the Bengals. I really think I might start Denard Robinson over him.
Atlanta has allowed 17 rushing touchdowns. That's what Denard Robinson is facing. That's the second most in the NFL behind only Detroit. Now you look at Bryce Brown, Cleveland doing a better job against running backs lately. They've given up just one rushing touchdown, one receiving touchdown to running backs in their last six games. And only two running backs have scored double digits in standard leagues against Cleveland in those six games. And then Brandon Bolden, you know, Tennessee has been doing better against the run lately, I guess. Not so much last week, but I just feel like name your score for the Patriots this week. They're going to destroy Tennessee and could definitely be some late Brandon Bolden production. Agreed?
Agreed. Absolutely.
Okay. I'm going to read you some players on the most drop list. You tell me if you would pick up any of these guys, the ones who are not injured. Scott Chandler, CJ Spiller, Alfred Blue, Spencer Ware, Devontae Parker, Brandon LaFell, Brian Hoyer. Steve Johnson.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not rushing out to the waiver wire to pick up any of those guys.
Yeah. I think Hoyer is fairly interesting because he's at Tennessee in week 16 if he can get back on the field. I know he's pretty beaten up and affected by those concussions, but might be worth starting in week 15 in week 16, at Tennessee. I'll get it right. At Indianapolis this week, but at Tennessee next week. And a reminder that today's show, Fantasy Football Today, is presented by Snickers, and Snickers wants to remind you that you're not you when you're hungry. Snickers satisfies. So I feel like Jamie's in, is that right?
You could sense his presence.
I could, I just felt it. I felt, a big Star Wars fan coming in, and it's time to spend a few minutes talking about movies, Jamie. Welcome to the show.
Hi, buddy.
How you doing?
I'm annoyed by traffic.
Traffic sucks.
Yep.
No question. That's why I work from home. I don't deal with that. Alright, so I've been getting these memes. People have sent the same two memes to me. I would guess at least 30 times yesterday. Maybe that's exaggerated.
Yeah, can you just admit that Die Hard's a Christmas movie so we can stop getting them?
Honestly, if it'll put an end to the memes, I might have to lie and say it, but the two memes...
It wouldn't
memes,
be a lie. It'd be you admitting the truth.
It's not Christmas until I see Hans Gruber fall off Nakatomi Plaza, and there are two types of people in this world, those who think Die Hard is a Christmas movie and those who are wrong. But we did have an email that said, you can't watch Die Hard with your kid, therefore it's not a Christmas movie. And I thought that was a very interesting, unique take on what makes something a Christmas movie.
At what age...
Yeah, I was going to say, you would consider Scrooge a Christmas movie, right?
Yes, Scrooge is a Christmas movie.
You can't watch that with a kid.
Why not?
Well, I couldn't watch that with my kid, same way I wouldn't watch it with Die Hard.
You can watch Scrooge with a much younger audience than you could with, than you could Die Hard.
I don't know if that's accurate.
I think that's up for parents to decide, and we shouldn't be casting judgment on any parent that wants to show their kid Die Hard.
All right, Heath, fine, I'll ask you. You have older kids than Jamie. Like, have you seen Scrooge, first of all?
Yes.
All right. So, what age would you allow your youngest to watch Scrooge, and what age would you allow him to watch Die Hard?
Boy, that's. I'm probably allowing my 6-year-old to watch Scrooge.
Right, but not Die Hard.
Probably not. I mean, is it which Die Hard is it?
The first one, the original, the non-Christmas.
Right, but
movie.
Is it being shown on TV as a replay?
Oh, it's on HBO.
It's on HBO.
Yep.
Then no.
I don't know if it's a Christmas movie then. Merry Christmas. You cannot watch this movie. That doesn't sound right to me.
No, I mean, not all people, you don't have kids.
Not yet, but.
So, you can't watch any Christmas movies because you don't have kids to watch them with?
No, your kids can't watch the Christmas movie. That's.
Gotcha.
Well, I can watch Die Hard because it's not a Christmas movie. Anyway, a lot of people gave me suggestions on the ways to watch Star Wars, and I was wondering if you were familiar with the Machete Order. Have you heard of this?
Yes.
Of what?
The machete order. Yes? No?
No, well, right. You're not a true Star Wars fan, probably.
Guess not.
All right, so here's how it goes. You watch 4, then 5, and then after the big reveal in 5, you watch 2, 3, and 6, and you can skip 1, or you can go 4, 5, 1, 2, 3, 6.
You know what? I'm going to confess something, Adam, to make you feel better.
Okay.
I think this is really going... A come together for the two of us.
Okay.
I've not seen 1, 2, or 3.
Okay, that's good.
What?
I saw 4, 5, and 6. I never made the effort to go see 1, 2, and 3 when they came out.
Ooh.
What?
He
still haven't seen them?
That's good stuff. Wow. Any reason why?
Well, there's a couple of reasons. One, I don't go to, I've been to a movie theater maybe 3 times in the last 10 years.
Hmm.
I take movie
criticism from you, and you don't even go to the movies?
I watch a lot of movies, but I primarily watch movies on Netflix, and I watch movies through like the Redbox or the stuff place where you can go get the movies.
Okay.
And those movies have never been at those two locations.
That's crazy.
So I don't, I mean,
They've
I don't.
They've been on
know.
TV though.
What?
They've been on TV.
Have they?
I'm pretty sure.
Well, I don't pay for the extra movie channels.
I'm trying to think where I would have seen them. Maybe HBO?
Yeah, probably. See, I don't pay for that, so.
And I will finish our movie debate with, and then I'll let Heath name his sequels. I put a Twitter poll up, is Terminator 2 a cheesy movie? 73% said no out of 712 votes. And I got a lot of support for T2. Great movie, Heath. Give me five sequels that you think are better. And I'll tell you if you got the one that I saw last night.
Okay, Godfather 2 is for sure better.
I will give you that.
Empire Strikes Back is better. There's not any question about that. Everyone's going to agree. One that I think maybe is overlooked is The Dark Knight.
I am fine with that.
That is an outstanding movie. One that you've never seen that is probably the greatest Western of all time. The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. With Clint Eastwood.
I can't comment, but.
Incredible. Incredible movie.
Okay.
And then I got stuck on this. Like, if there's a series of eight movies.
Any of them.
Any of them are sequels.
Sure, yeah.
Well, a lot of the Harry Potter movies are better than Terminator 2.
I don't know.
It's
a
different audience, so hard to judge.
Yeah, I mean, but it is, and so.
You know, the one I saw last night was Rocky 2, and I was watching it, and I was like, is this better than Terminator 2? Because they're both.
Oh, yes.
I love
absolutely.
Both. But I think you guys have to watch Terminator 2 again. First of all, it's such a groundbreaking movie.
I watch it when it's on. I mean, it's one of the movies that, you know, like, if for me, when I catch it, I stop and watch it.
Oh, okay.
You
know, Jamie, it's great.
We got kids.
Yeah.
Toy Story 2 was just a phenomenal movie.
My kids are too young for that, so yeah. I never saw, I saw 3.
Yeah.
I haven't seen 1 and 2 in its entirety.
Right.
But I've read the book to my kids.
I've never seen Toy Story 2, but Toy Story 1, very good. Anyway, let's talk football. Zero RB strategy. So I was just kind of thinking about this. Talk about these running backs that were starting this week, and I looked at the four teams that I still have remaining, and there's only one team that I have where I'm starting running backs that I drafted, exclusively running backs that I drafted. I'm starting Lamar Miller and Doug Martin, and that's in our June draft. Jamie's top five running backs this week are Peterson, then Gurley, Martin, D'Angelo, and David Johnson. And Gurley, Martin, D'Angelo, David Johnson, these guys, you know, the first two, Gurley and Martin, they could have been your first or second running backs taken if you went zero RB. Is it just this year, or is this a longer term case to be made to employ the zero RB strategy?
Well, I don't think it's just this year. It's been something that people have been doing for a few years, and I've done it before in the past. It's worked better this year because all of the first round running backs, except for what Adrian Peterson, have either been hurt or awful.
Mm-hmm.
I think you could definitely do it next year. More people are going to do it next year. I think the pendulum maybe swings a little bit because of how bad the first round running backs were.
Right.
And then if that happens, it's probably time for me to start taking running backs in that first round again.
I think the thing that's interesting is, you know, it's when you take somebody else's handcuff and when that particular player hits.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, I don't know if David Johnson qualifies, but obviously D'Angelo does. You know, so, like, I'm just thinking of the guys that you named that are ranked where they are.
Well, let me just say that I don't think D'Angelo Williams, I feel like a lot of people probably dropped him after week two.
Well, no, but I think the thing would be is the people using D'Angelo Williams right now, are they the Le'Veon Bell owner, or are they the person that picked up D'Angelo in your situation, or are they people that drafted him early and held on to him the whole time?
Yeah, I mean, there,
you know, I think is where the curiosity comes. Because if somebody strategically targeted D'Angelo Williams to use him the first 2 weeks and then said, well, maybe I'll just hold on to see what happens. Or went the other route and just, you know, used him 2 weeks, dropped him, or was the Le'Veon on. You know, I think that's kind of where this conversation gets blurred a little bit. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
And maybe the thing isn't so much that is it zero running back. It's that there's just, if you play the waiver wire right, you can afford to do zero running back.
Right, but you have to hit, like, the guys you would have been able to hit on, and I guess what we're talking about, round five or later, or round six or later, I always get confused about where the theory, where it starts.
I don't know. I feel like
it's
round
five.
Yeah.
So you would have been able to get, Doug Martin is a great example, Todd Gurley is a great example. I think you got to consider John Stewart just based on his average draft position.
Chris Ivory.
Chris Ivory is a great one. Mm-hmm. So these people are thriving.
Right.
You know, that did this. But there's the other side of it where, you know, maybe it was Andre Ellington, depending on where Melvin Gordon fell, Joseph Randall. You know,
he wasn't zero running back. Adam took him in the third round.
But it depended really when you drafted.
Yeah.
Darren McFadden, you know, you go the other route. He's been great.
Well, this is obviously, this year is a case of wait for quarterback and wait for running back, you know, and.
Well, but there's a flip side of it too, though, because like I didn't do it, entirely, but if you go back to our Fantasy Football Today draft, mm-hmm. where I went three wide receivers out of the gate.
PPR.
PPR league. My first three wide receivers were Calvin Johnson, Dez Bryant, and Jordan Matthews.
That didn't work.
Did you make the playoffs?
I did, but, you know, it's because, it worked out in my favor. I ended up with Devontae Freeman and Danny Woodhead in the PPR league. And Jonathan Stewart.
Right.
Now again, that's only three rounds in. But that's going receiver heavy. You would have said at the beginning of the season, wow, you got Calvin Johnson, Dez Bryant, and Jordan Matthews.
Oh, I loved your team, and I loved it mostly because you ended up with Jonathan Stewart in the fifth round or something like that. It was a steal.
Right, but that's the key though. It's like, you know, you have to hit on players later, but you have to make sure those first few picks hit to be really good.
I think it's, you know, football is just going to change year to year. I don't know that you can look at 2015 and say 2016 is going to be the same way, but I am sick of running backs. And Jamie and I talked about this on the radio show on Saturday night. My friend asked me, would you rather keep Jamal Charles or Keenan Allen? And I actually said I'd rather keep Keenan Allen just for 1 year. And I know most people disagreed with me. Jamie disagreed with me. I'm sure Heath, you disagree with me, but I'm just tired. Like, the guy's coming off now two knee injuries and I'm just tired of running backs. And I think Keenan Allen has a chance to be really, really good. Not that he's the model of health, but in general, yeah, I mean, I might start going, no running backs until round three or something like that, but we'll see. I know things are going to change much.
You say that though. I think it's also contingent on where you draft.
I'm sure it will be, yeah.
Because if you're picking first or second and you have the opportunity to take Le'Veon Bell or Todd Gurley or whoever the flavor of the month is going to be by the time we come to draft day, you're going to be really hard pressed to pass on that particular player.
It's the same thing that I said all summer for me is, yes, I have been further convinced that zero running back can work, but I'm going to take the best player depending on how the draft goes. If there's six people in my league that are doing zero running back, I'm probably going to have three running backs in the first three rounds.
Right, okay. Because you're going to be able to pick off wide receivers later.
Well, you know what I'm excited for, guys? I am excited to make my FanDuel lineup this week. I've been eliminated in three of my seven leagues, but I'm going to be playing more FanDuel to fill the void. I keep telling you about our listeners and other people around the country that are playing on FanDuel. They're turning small entry fees into hundreds of dollars, thousands of dollars. That could be you. And I don't just love FanDuel because I can make some money. Let's be clear. I love FanDuel because it's fantasy football, and it's a unique way to play fantasy football. It's a unique challenge, a great new way to play the game that we love. Not just football, by the way, either. If you listen to Heath on the Daily Fantasy Live video show or the podcast, he's talking daily fantasy basketball on FanDuel all the time. That's his favorite DFS to play. So there's a lot you can do. Go to FanDuel.com. Start playing right now. You will not regret it. Let's get the trust-o-meter out. 0 to 10, how much do you trust these guys? I asked people on Twitter. Jay Florick wants to know about Megatron going up against the Saints, who have actually been better against wide receivers lately. But how much do you trust Calvin Johnson this week? 0 to 10.
7.
10.
Must-start guy?
Yeah.
All right, how about Ryan Browers? He wants to know Dez Bryant against the Jets. 0 to 10.
0.
2.
Must sit guy, I guess.
Jamie's back on his 0 or 10.
Oh no, just in these particular.
Yeah, no, these were polarizing
instances.
This one's more interesting from Steve Mullen. Amari Cooper, who has gone five straight games without a touchdown and faces Green Bay, who has been very good against wide receivers lately, including Calvin twice and Alshon Jeffrey. So Amari Cooper, 0 to 10.
If Sam Shields plays, 2. If Sam Shields is out, 6.
I'll go 4.
Okay, so somebody you could get, like, are you starting Denard Robinson over Amari Cooper?
Yes.
Yep.
Bryce Brown over Amari Cooper?
No.
Yes.
Jamie, by the way, of the big waiver wire running backs, who's your highest rank this week?
I did it in the order I told people to pick them up. So it was Denard 1, Bryce Brown 2, Hightower 3. I like all three, though. They're all starts and starts it.
When we did the podcast yesterday for the waiver wire, we didn't know that Blount was out for the year.
We also didn't know that the Jaguars were going to sign somebody else,
right?
Which is why we were saying Hightower first,
right? Why, so, Jamie? Why? Where's Bolden though in that group?
Bolden's fourth.
Fourth? Okay.
Yep. I mean, I still look at what LeGarrette Blount's been doing, which hasn't been great,
right?
You know, so I don't get overly excited by Bolden. And after this week, the matchups are terrible.
I guess isn't part of the difference, though, that Bolden has actually had some success in the passing game, whereas Blunt doesn't really do that very much?
Some success, yes, but it was two games ago.
Right.
You know, he had the four catch game. And you look at every game that James White's been in, he's been their goal line guy. So I think both guys clearly get a boost, and I have no problem if you want to start Bolden this week.
Right.
But he's fourth for me.
Okay, next up from the
because I think, and just real quick, I think at this point you gotta go week to week. You know, I know it's, it's fun to look ahead and see who's got week 16, week 17, but you gotta win right now.
I can't trust Bryce Brown. I can't do it.
I totally get that. But you know what, for me it's simple math. Seattle running back, Cleveland defense, big lead.
But that's how I feel about Bolden. And Bryce Brown.
It could be Bolden, but it could also be Tom Brady throwing in the fourth quarter. To me, what they did last week was so stupid.
But so going back to the Jacksonville game, didn't LeGarrette Blount score like two or three touchdowns in that game? Just like garbage time stuff?
He did. That was his first game, second game back.
So that's just kind of how I feel that game could go.
Oh, I don't disagree with you. I think Bolden's a very good starting option this week.
Yeah. Okay.
But I also think that there's plenty of opportunities for the other guys. And who's to say that it's James White in the fourth quarter?
No, it could be. Okay, next up on the trust-o-meter from the Rain Man, Doug Baldwin, does the bubble burst 0 to 10?
I do think there's a possibility of the bubble bursting, but I'll go 6.
10. He's my number one receiver for this week.
Number one. Unbelievable. Okay.
You know what it's the only thing I can compare it to? Is Beckham last year.
Except that Doug Baldwin's had 3 years in the league to show us this isn't who he is.
Oh, believe me, it's total anomaly, but there's numbers that suggest when the targets are there for this guy, he's been productive.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. All right. Next up, this one I think is one of the more interesting ones. I have faith in this guy going up against San Diego on the road. East Coast to West Coast is tough, but Lamar Miller, 0 to 10 on him.
I was just listening to something on the radio. I think something going on that he may have been hurt.
Yeah. He had an ankle thing. They taped it up, I guess. He says he wasn't hurt, but I think that might have been part of the equation. But Lamar Miller says, no, he was not hurt. Dan Campbell did not exactly say, no, he was not hurt. So there is an ankle injury situation going there, but I think that might be why he was limited in the second half.
I'll go 8. I'm gonna start him.
Yeah, I mean, if he's 100% healthy, I'll go the same thing, 10.
Okay. Paul wants to know, but this is interesting too, Martavis Bryant, 0 to 10 this week against Denver.
7.
6.
Really?
They're going to attack that defense. I mean, look at the two quarterbacks that's had success against them. Andrew Luck when they changed coordinators and Brady. It's going to be tough for him, but you got to, like, I'd start Tyler Lockett over him. I have no problem with that. But you got to be.
Really?
I mean, it's hard to get past what these guys have been doing.
Right. Okay.
Well, I mean, talk it out. Lockett versus no defense. Bryant versus Talib.
Right.
I mean,
right, but we also said that we're thinking about starting Bryce Brown because they're going to have a big lead and just be running the ball.
Well, how do they get that lead?
I can't see Doug Baldwin and Tyler Lockett both having the same kind of week they had last week.
That's five touchdowns though, right? Or how many did Baldwin score?
Let me just give you numbers.
2 and 2.
They score 5 touchdowns. Seattle running back gets 18 carries.
They score 5 touchdowns.
Yes.
And the Seattle running back gets 18 carries.
Yes, that's what happened last week.
Right.
DeJuan Harris had 18 carries.
Right.
That's unrealistic.
I think it's unrealistic to expect that it's all going to be Baldwin and Lockett.
Forget about those two getting 5 touchdowns.
I think the team will score 5 touchdowns.
They score 5 touchdowns.
I wouldn't be surprised if the defense scored one of them, but.
Totally agree. Russell Wilson throws 3, Baldwin catches 1, Lockett catches 1, Curse catches 1.
Yeah. I'm not to the point yet where I can just expect Russell Wilson to throw 3 touchdowns a week. I think he's a 2.5 touchdown a week guy. He's not going to throw 45, 50 touchdowns a year.
No, but he's completely morphed into this unbelievable pocket passer in the last 3 weeks.
Right.
I don't know why that would change.
Dr. Thunder wants your trust-o-meter rating on Demaryius Thomas.
I think they're going to be chasing points. So I actually think that both receivers are going to actually play well this week.
Yeah, I'll say 6. 7.
I'm going to go 8.
Joshua Squires, Mike Evans on this Thursday night game, which will take us into our preview in just a second. But Mike Evans, without Vincent Jackson, he 3 games without Vincent Jackson, he was over 120 receiving yards in 2 of them. So how do you feel about Mike Evans this week?
5. I was just going to say the 2 games without Jackson, he played really well. So another guy that's an 8.
There was one game without Vincent Jackson where he did not play well.
That was the first one.
Yeah, the first one. But I think Jackson...
It is also a Thursday night game against the Rams defense. It's been pretty decent against receivers.
Oh, they allow the third fewest fantasy points to wide receivers. That's what adds a little
interest. Is Jenkins going
to
play? I know he missed last week's game.
I'm not sure.
And you saw the game. I mean, look, they went away from Calvin, but Golden Tate beat them to shreds.
Yeah. Okay. So, and you know what? We'll get into that in just a second. Right now, it's time for the You're Not You Player of the Week presented by Snickers. Snickers reminds you that you're not you when you're hungry, and Snickers satisfies. And this week's You're Not You Player was Phillip Rivers. Phillip Rivers was just not himself, although unfortunately he's kind of been like that lately. You have any faith in him against the Dolphins?
He's been really hot and really cold. I mean, it was 2 weeks ago that he was spectacular, right?
Well, two or three against the Jaguars, yeah. What do you think this week?
It's just a really tough situation for him that if he plays a good defense with the weapons he has, he doesn't have much of a chance. Thankfully, this week he doesn't play a good defense. I think he'll be better this week for sure. It's going to be tough to start him. I would start him over any of the guys that we were talking about on the waiver wire.
Oh, yeah. Well, Cousins?
That's tough.
Yates, I can understand.
Yeah, that's tough.
You know, I'm looking at Cousins, though. He doesn't throw very many multiple touchdown games.
Right.
I think he only has like 3.
Well, I think you got to consider DeSean Jackson's health, and you got to consider Stephon Gilmore's health in that game before you
make that decision. Well, Gilmore's not
going to play. Okay. Well, then you got to consider DeSean Jackson's health.
Yeah, it sounds like he's going to play.
Okay.
Well, Jamie said he doesn't throw very many multiple touchdown games. He's done it twice this year.
Right. He's run for 2.
Right.
That's it. I thought he's run for 4.
4.
Well, I'm sorry. Excuse me. He's run for multiple touchdowns. Excuse me.
So Janoris Jenkins, they're hopeful he can play in this Thursday night game. All right, but try to avoid Phillip Rivers. Your satisfying performer of the week is brought to you by Snickers. Snickers satisfies. And this week's satisfying performer was, of course, that man, Russell Wilson, who is just in the zone right now, Heath. But you don't think he's going to throw a million touchdowns this season?
You know, I didn't think that he was going to throw 17 touchdowns back when that's what he was on pace for a month ago. And he's gotten all the regression anyone could ever ask for. His pass attempts haven't really gone up.
No.
His efficiency's gone up. He's played against some bad secondaries. He gets another one. I'm not saying he's going to be bad. I'm not saying I wouldn't be thrilled if I had him starting on my playoff teams. But no, I don't think he's going to continue to throw 3+ touchdowns every game for the rest of the year.
Jamie, you starting Russell Wilson over Aaron Rodgers?
I am. He's my number one quarterback this week.
So you'd start him over Tom Brady?
Yeah.
Heath, Wilson or Brady?
Brady.
All right, I know Stephen O is coming in just a few minutes. I think we can probably knock out this Thursday night game in just a few minutes. Doug Martin is number 3 for Jamie in both standard and PPR. He's number 8 for Dave. So don't get cute and start one of the waiver wire guys over Doug Martin. Mike Evans is more interesting.
I just think that after what happened last week and Lovey saying that they made a mistake going away from him, you're going to get 20 carries from him.
It's only like the 4th time this year they've made that mistake. But hopefully they learn from it this time.
Doug Martin starts. So Mike Evans. Jamie, what, you have him like 15th or something?
Yep.
Right around there. Heath, are you concerned at all? So let's look at what wide receivers have done against St. Louis recently. Last 4 weeks, Kamar Aiken, A.J. Green, John Brown, Michael Floyd, Golden Tate all have scored double digits in standard scoring leagues. But Larry Fitzgerald, Calvin Johnson, they had bad games. Does that mean anything to you guys when you look at Mike Evans?
It means something to me, yeah. I am concerned about the defense. I'm concerned about the lack of volume that Jameis Winston has. Now, the nice thing is with no Vincent Jackson, even if he only throws 25 to 30 passes, probably 12 to 15 of them are going to Mike Evans. So that certainly helps. And I think that gives him a pretty good floor. I just don't know how high the ceiling's there. I don't know what his likelihood is of reaching it against this defense.
So the 3 games that Jackson didn't play was 8, 9, and 10. At Atlanta, home to the Giants, home to Dallas. So that's two decent secondaries, Atlanta and Dallas.
Right.
The Atlanta game, 9 targets, 3 catches, 48 yards. Obviously a bad game. Then the Giants game, terrible secondary, 19 targets, 8 catches, 150 yards.
Right.
This game, I think, is probably where he's going to be in this range. I don't know if he'll hit the ceiling or not, but 13 targets, that's the number you gave, right? The Dallas game?
Mm-hmm.
8 catches, 126 yards. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets 12 fantasy points.
Yeah, no, I think that's perfectly fine.
But you only have a 5 out of 10.
Also, Jamie.
Yeah, 12 points in standard league is pretty good for a receiver.
Yeah.
Well, Jamie, look at the game before Vincent Jackson went out, because I think he, or before the games he actually fully missed, I think he got hurt, played about 50% of the snaps before that Atlanta game, and he had a huge game, Mike Evans. So it's kind of like 3.5 games without Vincent Jackson.
Are you saying the Washington game when he got hurt?
Yes. And he played really well in that game, right, Evans?
Yeah, 8 for 164 and a touchdown on 11 targets.
Yeah.
It's pretty much been, I mean, just looking at the targets, and it speaks to what you were saying, he's been above 10 targets, 5 times. Of those 5 times, he's hit double digits in fantasy points, 4 of them.
Right.
So it's pretty consistently when he's 10 or more targets, he's going to play well. The one time he didn't was at Indianapolis. He had 10 targets, 5 for 64.
Now, would you start Mike Evans or Martavis Bryant?
Evans.
See, I may have been too low. Maybe I should have said 6 on Evans, because I think I would still start Evans over Bryant. I gave him a 6, so.
Would you start Mike Evans or Larry Fitzgerald?
Fitzgerald.
Evans. You look at Fitzgerald's numbers since when everybody's healthy, he's not a very good standard receiver.
Nope.
The touchdowns just escape him.
How about Austin Seferian Jenkins? Does he get a boost now with Vincent Jackson out?
Unless the defense is disappearing and he's playing the Titans again, no.
Okay. So you're sitting Austin Seferian Jenkins for like Zach Miller?
Oh yeah.
Yep.
Eric Ebron?
Yeah.
No.
Will Ty?
Yeah.
Yes.
Vernon Davis?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. And then for St. Louis, it's really just Todd Gurley, Tavon Austin, number 4 wide receiver for Jamie, low end number 3 for Dave. Gurley is a top 3 running back, and I understand that it's tempting tempting to start him after last week, but this is a really good run defense. They allow the second fewest yards per carry in the NFL, Tampa Bay. And since week 1, 5 running backs have scored double-digit fantasy points against Tampa Bay in standard scoring leagues, okay? 2 of them had 28 carries or more. 2 of them caught a touchdown, and the other was Devontae Freeman. He had 27 total touches, and he scored 12 fantasy points. I think you could make the case that Gurley won't get 27 total touches, 28 carries, obviously, or catch a touchdown.
You said Hightower?
Yes. That was the 28 carries.
Right. I think the thing that, at least for me, that I'm counting on is Thursday night. You know, so tired defense. Him playing well last week. And buying into what they did with the coordinator change.
You know, you brought up some good numbers from the past, so I just wanted to throw some numbers from the past in as well.
Okay.
There have been 2 21-year-old running backs ever to run for 1,000 yards with at least 8 touchdowns and over 5 yards per carry. Barry Sanders and Clinton Portis. Gurley's about 25 yards away from doing that himself.
That's crazy.
He's a generational talent. I'm not benching a generational talent in the playoffs.
I thought he would be more like 8 in the rankings. I guess I was a little surprised to see him 2 for Jamie, 3 for Dave, but I understand.
I guess it just comes down to like, Adam, who do you think is the best running back in this game?
I'd rather start Martin.
I can see that. D'Angelo Williams or Gurley?
Gurley standard, Williams PPR.
Okay.
Gurley.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of splitting hairs on who's better than who.
Sure.
You know, like I'm not starting McCoy over him. I'm not starting Stewart over him if he's 100% healthy, you know, those kind of guys.
Okay. I know we got Stephen O coming in. Tampa DST is number 11 for Jamie, number 15 for Dave. St. Louis DST is number 9 for Jamie, number 11 for Dave. Would you start either DST over Denver this week?
Not the Bucks, but the Rams.
I could see an argument for either one.
Stephen O, would you start either DST over the Ravens DST this week?
I would start most teams over Baltimore's DST because we don't get the stats that actually count, right? We don't get turnovers. We don't get sacks. You know, we're very good at limiting yardage on first and second down, but that doesn't
work.
Rack up the, you know, we're really good 67% of the time and horrible 33% of the time, and the 33% of the time that's the time that counts. So
you like Alex Smith this week, right?
Yes. And Macklin. Because, you know, not to jump ahead, but Macklin is one of the players that, Adam, wanted me to pay attention to. And, I think it's a similar situation as last week with Russell Wilson, in that our complete lack of pass rush And so again, we're good on first and second down. So a lot of third and longs, right? Mm-hmm. But we can't rush the passer. And Alex Smith is mobile, like Russell Wilson. He's gonna not gonna get, you know, sacked. And then Macklin, it opens up for Macklin for big plays down the field. And so even though we have my projections have Macklin at 5.7 receptions per sim, which is just a shade under what he averages and a shade under in yardage. So those two stats that, you know, the Ravens are pretty good on first and second down. But then his touchdowns is he's getting over, he has a better than 50% chance of scoring at least one touchdown, which is, you know, higher than his normal season rate. And that comes down to that awful third and 10. The whole crowd is saying defense, the decibel meter is really high. And then they pass rush like children.
So. Yeah, well, no, I'm glad you brought that up. I was going to ask you about Macklin. You have him as, I think, your number 10 wide receiver in your projections. Jamie has him 25th. I do want to point out that last week, Jamie and I had some doubts about your pessimism, I guess, about Tyrod Taylor. But congratulations to Stephen O. That was a good call. He did not have a great fantasy game. But Jeremy, Jamie, do you want to talk about Jeremy Macklin and why he's 25th for you?
The thing I fear with the Chiefs always, and it bears itself out with the target numbers for Macklin, is whenever he's been single digits in targets, he's been bad. And they typically, when they have a chance to bludgeon a team, which I think they're going to bludgeon this team, they don't throw the ball a lot. So, everything Steven said about Macklin and the Ravens defense is 100% accurate. The potential is clearly there, which is why he's not lower for me. And I'm kind of back and forth on where I think he's going to finish. But we've just seen from the Chiefs that when they can run the ball against a team, and I don't know if they can against Baltimore, which is what the Ravens have actually done well. So Macklin, I think, is a good starting option this week. I probably have him a spot or two too low.
I was going to say, I'll go in between Steven and Jamie. I'll take 11th to 24th.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like I have him a couple spots too low. I don't think he's a top 15 guy, but I could see top 20.
Where you don't want to go too high because you get disqualified, so you want to get as close to the number without going too high. All right.
Heath, would you rather start Mike Evans or Jeremy Macklin?
Mike Evans.
Okay. All right, so let's talk about the waiver wire running backs. Optimistic on Bryce Brown, Denard Robinson, Brandon Bolden. Good opportunities here, Steven. What stood out to you when you did the projections for these guys?
Well, the first thing that stood out to me was how ridiculous it is when I rattle the names off like the top 15, top 16 versus what you thought preseason.
Yeah,
I know, and I counted like four guys that you would thought would be there, actually still there. When you consider guys like David Johnson and, Devontae Freeman even, you know, was not supposed to be irrelevant, you know, I like the three running backs you mentioned for pretty much the same reasons in all cases. Denard Robinson, we know he had put up some big games last year on a team that averaged 15 points a game versus the one that's averaging 25 this year. I'm assuming Yeldon's out.
Looking that way.
Right. Okay. I had him originally so if he's out, then I have Robbins in the top four. Because he's shown that he can churn out on a yards per carry basis probably more than Yeldon. And the touchdowns, Atlanta, we know what's happening with their defense. And recently, I know overall they allow only 3.9 yards per carry, which is the same number as Carolina. But if you look at that key stat that I look at, those like differential, what they allow the opponent versus opponent was averaging coming in, Carolina in their accumulating 3.9 yards per carry allowed held 9 of 13 opponents to below their normal average, whereas Atlanta, it's only 6 out of the 13. So if you ignore the average and just look at kind of the rates of playing good defense versus bad defense, the rates of yards per carry allowed and rushing touchdowns allowed are both on indicate Atlanta's rush defense is below average. Bryce Brown, we know what happened 2012. Yeah, he fumbled like a bunch of times, but he's shown that he can run, when given the opportunity. Obviously Seattle must have thought that he was a better option or they wouldn't have just, you know, cut Harris. Right. So I just gotta assume that Seattle's not stupid and is not intentionally gonna make a bad choice. Let's see, what else I got here? Cleveland, we know that they're in these same differential stats of yards per carry allowed and rushed out touchdowns. 10 out of 13 Cleveland opponents have had, say, better than average, rushing performances than they were averaging heading in. And out of these 10, they averaged nearly one more yard per carry than they did, you know, against
wow.
the rest of their opponents.
That's a lot.
So, you know, yes, over 70% of the time, your opposing running backs of Cleveland, you know, do well. Brandon Bolden, I think Tennessee is actually a pretty decent, good, better than average run defense. So production per carry may not be there. He might be under, maybe 3.5, 3.7 yards per carry. But I think New England is going to win by a lot, even with their injuries. So a lot of extra rush attempts. Mm-hmm. Combined with the fact that is Edelman out? I know he's kind of questionable.
We don't know yet.
So the big thing here is I looked at the rankings, and the reason why I have Bolden and James White surprisingly high is they're doing really well in receiving touchdowns among running backs. And they're doing well because that's because I'm assuming Edelman has a better than 50% chance of not playing. Mm-hmm. If Edelman comes back, then their receiving touchdowns will go down considerably. And if that happens, their overall rankings will go down considerably.
Mm. Excellent. Okay, interesting. Yeah.
The one thing, I don't know if you guys talked about Bryce Brown here or not, it could be fool's gold with him because it looks like exactly what Steven said. Well, they seem like they're smart. They got rid of Harris for a reason. Maybe they're going to lean on Bryce Brown. Pete Carroll said something that I think it kind of makes me nervous is that he liked what Derek Coleman did on that one run, their fullback. One carry, 19 yards. I hope it doesn't do anything screwy and it's, you know, a three-headed monster here where it's, you know, not one guy getting a ton of work. And that's what scares me a little bit about Bryce Brown. That's really the only thing that scares me about Bryce Brown.
Yeah, that's exactly what scares me about Bryce Brown.
Or the wild card of, is Marshawn better than they're letting on?
Right, I think
does Brown not get at his goal line because of his... I mean, I know he's fumbled a lot recently in his limited sample in the last two or three seasons, but when he did have a chance, he fumbled like a ridiculous rate. And
he hasn't
would
fumbled.
You trust him on a goal line?
He hasn't fumbled for Pete Carroll yet, so you have to assume that he's going to buy into it. I mean, they obviously did this. The only thing you could look at is it, from an outsider's perspective is they got rid of Harris for a reason. And if this is the reason, then you got to buy into it.
Steven, thank you very much. Great stuff as always.
All right.
Thanks, Steven.
Appreciate it. That's Steven O. Sportsline.com/FFT. Sign up. If you want picks, college football bowl games are coming up. Obviously, big time NFL games, NBA every night, NHL, college basketball. Sportsline.com/FFT to learn more. And you can go to sportsline.com/podcast as well. You can sign up for just $10 a month. Very, very, that's like less than Netflix, I think, depending on which type of Netflix you have. But, thanks again to Steven O. Sportsline.com/FFT. Let's go to some emails here. Oh, and yeah, I forgot to remind you, if you like Sportsline and you like Nick Costos and Todd Furman, they're doing their bowl game preview on Friday at 1:30 Eastern on CBSSports.com. So make sure you watch that. 1:30 p.m. Eastern, CBSSports.com on Friday. Nick Costos, Todd Furman. Should be awesome. Here's an email from Jason at fantasyfootball@CBSI.com. Who would you start between the Jets running backs this week?
Ivory.
In PPR, Ivory as well?
Yep. Fitzpatrick makes me a little nervous this week, though.
Yeah, I'm getting away from him. But I have Drew Brees and Fitzpatrick, so that's an easy call for me.
Yep. Brees is our start of the week, by the way.
Hey, all right. Good stuff. I will not use the B word.
You can. It didn't work. It didn't hinder it last week.
Twice in a row now, I've used the Colts in the Bonanza game, and their opponent has gone crazy, but they haven't really done so.
Do you see Brees' stats primetime at home?
Okay, I saw you tweet that, and I think you should look, and I don't know what the answer is, but I'll try to do it for tomorrow's or Friday show. How has he been recently? Because remember, this team was absolutely unbeatable prime time at home, and now it's not the case anymore. I mean, remember last year Baltimore came in and crushed them, and this year they had
still good stats in that game.
They had to take Dallas to overtime this year, and he didn't get his good stats until the 80-yard pass to CJ Spiller.
I mean, you could say when he got this and when he got that.
He didn't play that well.
He got his stats in the previous 14 going back to last.
But he's a different player now. I mean, he's a different quarterback now than he used to be, and they're a different team than they used to be. They suck.
I don't disagree with that, but what I've seen the last 2 weeks of him, you know, defying statistics, beating the Panthers the way he did, or playing well against Panthers the way he did. Only two other quarterbacks have done that against Carolina's defense this year. First game outdoors last week, he did well. So.
I like him. I don't know about the primetime thing. I don't know. I wouldn't care if this game, what time this game were or what day this game were, you know? But I just don't know if the primetime rules, matter anymore with them because there's just a different team. But anyway. This is from Brandon in Hong Kong.
Don't hate on my stats.
Sorry. Don't hate on my movies. Dear Beecher, Adabizi, or whatever, and O'Reilly. This is Oz.
That's Oz, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know. You knew
great
that.
Great show.
Oh, never seen it. I had to look it up. Anyway, I'm having trouble. I need two wide receivers and a flex. So Mike Evans, Allen Robinson, Allen Hurns, Dez Bryant, Julian Edelman. Who are you going with? Two wide receivers there. It's basically between Evans, Robinson, and Hurns.
It's Evans and Robinson.
It is, but it's still tough to bench Hurns. I don't know how many people, you know, I mean.
Well, you don't have to. You can play him as a flex.
You play all three?
Yeah.
Well, the other options for flex are Hurns, Dez, Edelman, Sean Drone, and Brandon Bolden.
Hurns.
Yeah.
Okay. Dan from Detroit. Hey, Jim, Bob, and Cooter. With all your recent discussions over high-scoring teams missing the playoffs, I'm surprised you don't do more all-points leagues. I've been a commish for 10 years. I ditched head-to-head 6 years ago. It's lame. Too many fraudulent teams make it through. We go 10 teams straight up, week 1 through 16. It's the only way to go. So the only thing they care about is points. They don't have any matchups. They just do points.
I'm surprised this doesn't happen more. I'm not saying that I love it, but I'm surprised it isn't more because it is very common in the other sports.
I would not even consider playing in an all-points league. That sounds, I mean, look, I'm not going to crap on your league. I'm glad you're having fun. But fantasy football is all about going up head-to-head against opponents. You're supposed to simulate real sports. I don't like roto baseball leagues. All right, Heath has to get out of here, so we're going to let him go. Jamie and I are going to finish up without Heath. Jamie, where do you stand on that?
On all-points leagues?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, not for me.
Okay. Next up, we have Andrew Walsh. He says, hey, Trudeau, Harper, and Campbell.
No idea.
Okay, I'll look it up. Heath said yesterday there was no scenario where he would bench Beckham, but I have Julio, Megatron, Allen Robinson, and Odell Beckham Jr. Would you sit Odell Beckham Jr. for Julio Jones, Calvin Johnson, and Allen Robinson?
I think it's going to be a little tough for Allen Robinson, to be honest with you. Like, not to the same level of sitting him, but I mean, you saw last week, I don't know what the scenario was, if it was Vontae Davis or not, or they just stayed away from Robinson, but he didn't have a great game. You know, the touchdown saved him.
Yeah, well, this is the first time, Jamie, that now you've got all three of those guys all playing well. You know, Hurns and Thomas and Robinson.
Yep. Or healthy.
So you'd go Beckham over Robinson?
I would.
Interesting. Okay.
I mean, you every guy you named is in my top 12. So you're, yeah. You know, somebody's got to sit.
Right. Next up. Sorry.
Which one's the lesser of the evil, you know?
Okay. Next up, we have Matt and Aventura in a half point PPR league, a wide receiver and a flex. And you get a 4 point bonus for a 50 plus yard touchdown. So we need a half point PPR. We need two. Martavis Bryant, John Brown, Tyler Lockett, or Hightower.
Need two of those?
Yes.
And it's half-point PPR?
It is half-point PPR. Again, they are Martavis Bryant, John Brown, Tyler Lockett, Tim Hightower.
I would go with Brown and Lockett.
Brown and Lockett. By the way, nobody knows who Trudeau, Harper, and Campbell are. They don't exist. You made it up. Dear Ray... Wait, we just read that one. Sorry. So, hello, John, Sarah, and the T-1000. That one we know. Stephen McKenzie from New Richmond, Wisconsin. Needs RB2 help in the semifinals. Half-point PPR. Denard Robinson is going to be one of his starters. He has Matt Jones and Danny Woodhead. Who would you rather have this week?
Matt Jones or Danny Woodhead? I like Matt Jones a lot this week.
You do,
you look
huh?
at Buffalo. Huh?
Yeah, okay.
9 straight games, they've given up a running back double digits in fantasy points. It could be Alfred Morris, but the usage would suggest Morris. I mean, 19 touches each of the last 2 weeks. I think if he gets 19 touches in this game against Buffalo, he'll be okay.
The usage would suggest Matt Jones, right?
I'm sorry?
The usage would suggest Matt Jones.
Over Morris.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And Woodhead.
Don from Detroit. Dear Ragnar, Rolo, and Floki. This is Vikings. These were the most obscure. I had to look all of them up. Except for the Terminator one. I have Roethlisberger and the Denver DST. Should I look to stream a defense for week 15 instead of Denver? Tampa, Houston, Minnesota, and Pittsburgh are available.
Tampa, Houston, Minnesota, and who?
Pittsburgh.
I'm kind of starting to like Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
I still would probably go Tampa just because it's Thursday night, but it's close.
Yeah. What about Houston against the Colts on the road?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't hear. Yeah, Houston's the best one. Okay. Excuse me.
And Josh from Manchester, England. 2 weeks ago, the player in second place accidentally cut Lamar Miller instead of Heath Miller. The commissioner was number one on waivers and won the lottery, picking up Lamar Miller, who then went on to beat a playoff contender last week due to Miller's big game. Now the first round of the playoffs is starting. The commissioner has now re-added Lamar Miller to the original team, who is in the playoffs with the commish out. Would you classify this as collusion or just a dirty move?
So it was a week later?
Yeah, after he picks up Miller, uses him. Or I guess it was 2 weeks later, maybe? The commish is now out and gives back Lamar Miller to the team that cut him.
That's awful.
I don't know. We get these emails and it's just like, how does this stuff happen? How does a commissioner do something like that? That is a terrible, stupid, unfair thing to do.
I don't get it.
Shame on you, commissioner. That is BS. Okay. T2 forever. Jamie, thank you very much.
That's his new email.
No, that's just me ending the show. Yeah. We're out of here. Thanks to Stephen O. Heath Cummings, Jamie Eisenberg. Thank you all for listening. Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. I'm Adam Azer. We'll see you tomorrow with the AFC home games.
Bye.